Okay, great. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Synesthesia Chat with Zoe. Yay. And I'm also here.
Of course. Otherwise, it'd be a
Zoe.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I am doing all right, actually. I was just filming some stuff for the new reel. So, excited to post it up. I think I'll post it tomorrow, which by the time you guys hear this, it will be out already.
Yeah, it will be an outdated reel. Which one is it? You can share everything about it now.
Right. So because recently I've been overstimulated quite a bit, so I'm avoiding music at the moment. And I have a new obsession. Well, not new, but I've always loved One Piece, the anime. And there is the One Piece live action on Netflix right now, which is so well done. Live action is usually bad, but I'm so glad they did it so well. And I've been obsessed with it. I was actually watching it before our recording, rewatching. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
The reel is about their voices, basically. I'm just drawing their voices and how their voices look like to me.
Oh, that's super cool. Let's be more clever than last time and talk about what we're going to do today so people know what we're up to.
Yep.
I think we both have a couple like notes in our phone and maybe like updates and observations, and then we prepared one thing that I'm just going to ask you to share.
Okay. And then after that, we will do a fun little experiment.
Well, you can describe it if you want.
Oh, okay, because I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, we'll do a fun... I'll try to leave people on a cliffhanger.
You can say the whole thing.
Yes.
What are we doing today? A synesthesia challenge, whatever.
Yeah, a synesthesia experiment. So we bought a bunch of snacks and things that is available to the both of us from Europe and Japan. And then we're going to do a little taste test and we'll see if we can trigger any of our synesthesia. Yes. So that would be fun. I don't know if I like taste synesthesia or taste to something. So we'll see.
Yeah. I also don't know what's going to happen. I think there will also be a lot of nothing. But it's fine. And people can just, it's stuff that is available.
You got them all already?
In the store? What I didn't get was the lemon curd because that was a UK thing.
Oh, I see.
They didn't have anything like that in Germany. Oh. So that's a shame. Well, what we could do. We could tell people what the things are so they can listen to our updates while looking in their pantry if they have any of it and then join us later.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the stuff, if you want to join us, the stuff that we have is Pringles, the original version, which is the red one.
The red one, yeah.
Yep, and we have the Walker's Pure Butter Shortbread. Love this so much. So good.
They're
and then
so
we
good.
Have, Skippy Peanut Butter, the creamy version, not the chunky ones, right? Okay, and then we have Haribo, the cola one. Recipe from Germany. Look, it's written. Recipe from Germany.
Absolutely. So. Haribo cola fläschchen.
Yeah, it's so good. I love this too. We have soy sauce. Mine is a Kikkoman brand. And I have the lemon curd, but it's okay if...
Yeah. And I have the Hello Panda.
I don't have. I think I thought it was in Japan, but I guess it's Singapore. My memory.
Yeah. So
it's one of those
we
like kid
Pringles,
snacks.
Pringles, peanut butter, shortbread, cola, fläschchen, Haribo, and soy sauce.
Yes. Great. And I have some water to cleanse the palate between.
Exactly.
Courses.
And we have to close our eyes. Actually, closing our eyes takes me to the first point on my notes list, something I wanted to share with you and hear your thoughts on it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So maybe...
Give it to me.
Maybe you saw that on Instagram. I was turning 29. Well, it's amazing how often I can talk about my own birthday. It's impressive. No, but what a couple of friends and I did when they turned 29 was coming up with that list of 30 things you do before turning 30. So I have a year left to complete that list, and I'm trying to come up with things I want to do. And one challenge I set myself is, first I thought a full day, but I'm a bit skeptical. But it's a synesthesia challenge for myself, which is spending a whole day in without seeing anything.
Oh.
And I'm not, like, I'm not trying to imitate being blind or anything. Like, I mean, it will be an interesting experience for sure. But what I want to do more than not seeing is I want to spend a full day in my mind's eye.
I see. That's really cool. Imagine you can map out your entire day in colors and shapes and everything.
Oh. And I would imagine it gets more intense over the day. Like, maybe breakfast will be, I don't know, you're maybe still very try to figure out noises and stuff. But I would imagine that at the end of the day, if you had time to observe your mind's eye more, it also gets more vivid. We'll see.
Interesting. That's cool. I've never done that. I mean, I don't think a lot of people have done that.
I think it's a bit of a luxury to do that as well. Like, when do you have a full day to do that? And I would imagine I don't want to be alone. If I really want to be able to do it, I would want someone to be around, because, like, yeah, of course, as a seeing person, everything I do is
with your safety. You should have someone with you.
Yeah, it's like when you take drugs and you have the sober
friend.
What is it called? The sober friend. Yeah, I think that there is a term for that. Whatever. Someone that is there.
Right.
Because I have no skills whatsoever, of course, to cook myself food without seeing it, right? I couldn't make pasta because it's a new
takeout
way of living. No. Well, how many hours do you think one could easily do
with your eyes closed?
Yeah, like eye mask.
No, it depends on the person, I guess. But I would say an hour shouldn't be that hard. But like a full day, I don't know. That would be kind of, I feel like you would, the beginning would be the very, very hard. Like, you will struggle a lot. And then once you kind of go past that, then it will be a little bit easier. But by then, it's like, oh, the day is ending. And then, yeah, when you take off the blindfold, like, be careful as well to not, like, be in a bright room or something. I think your eye would just explode or something.
No, for sure.
Just eviscerate.
No, I'm going to be careful. But I have to say, I'm so excited about it. When I had the idea, I was like, oh my God, I definitely want to do that. And since I have a year to do it, I feel like I can just, I don't know, find the perfect day to do it, find the perfect person and the perfect meals that are, like, interesting and sounds and something I could watch or podcasts I can listen to, and then just spend a whole day in my mind's eye where there's so much going on all the time. And I think it will teach me a lot about myself. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think you should have, like, a recorder with you, so that you can take, like, voice notes. Because I think a day full of, like, being in your mind's eye is a lot of information. So you should, like, have a voice note to, like, record your thoughts and stuff along the way, so you don't forget. Yeah. Or you could, like, go back later to, like, double check. Like, if you're cooking pasta or something, just put a recorder to record whatever sounds that you can hear.
Yeah.
Just like a safety net.
No, that's a really good point. Well, so that's one of the things that I'm excited about. A little synesthesia challenge. Whoever wants to join, please join. I want to hear other people's experience. It's a bit like traveling to I don't know, a place that is also reality and a place that is also me, but a place that I always only dip a toe in.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have other things I should put on that list of 30 things to do before 30? You passed 30, didn't you?
Yes, I'm past 30. When I was 30, it was during Corona, so I didn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So my friend, my best friend just came over and we had pizza in bed and painted in my apartment. We didn't really do much. We couldn't anyway.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I have another thing on my list, but I think it's your turn to share something you observed or something you just want to share.
Right. So so I went to a sumo match last week, and it's not very noisy because, well, Japanese people are very nice and they are not like the noisy kind of people, so I was fine all for the first 2 hours. There also was not a lot of people at first, so it was only the evening matches that are more exciting, and then more people came, and that's when it was getting a little bit overwhelming. But for the first 2 hours, it was fine. It was interesting to see the sumo like fight, and everything was actually really short. But after lunch, I started feeling really sleepy, which is something I thought I was done with. I thought it was just a kid thing when I'm overwhelmed and I go to sleep. I started feeling really, really sleepy. But I thought it's just like, oh, okay, I just had lunch and maybe it's food coma or something. And then I started fighting sleep for the next 4 hours when I was there. So in total, I was there for 6 hours because we went too early. We didn't know how it worked. And towards the last four matches, I just like fell asleep without even knowing that I did. So my friend who I went with, she was surprised because she turned around and I'm just suddenly like out. My head was drooped and I was just like out cold. And she had to like pet my head. And I was like, oh, I fell asleep. I thought I was just fighting it. And she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just like really sleepy. And I thought it was just, okay, it's just hypnotic because they have all these rituals. And, you know, it's kind of slow because the actual match, the exciting part is only like a few seconds at most. The rest is kind of slow. They do a lot of rituals. And I just thought it's just because of that. But then when I came home, I started feeling like there are like bees in my body again. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's not a good sign, because every time like that happens means I'm overstimulated. And then I realized like, oh, okay, I guess I still do that sleeping thing that I did when I was a kid. And then I thought back about all the other times where my friends were like, yeah, like I can sleep anytime, anywhere. And I didn't think about it that much. And I'm just like, oh, maybe every time I do that is because I'm overstimulated. And I'm like, okay, I guess I was still doing it as an adult. I just didn't know that I was. Because there was once I fell asleep on the train and I made it all the way home without knowing how I did it. I was like half asleep the whole time, but it was on autopilot. I could even change trains. That's how amazing I am. I took 3 different trains to get home and I had no idea how I got home. And I went home, I just like knocked out flat, like completely out. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I thought I was just tired. But I guess I was overstimulated without knowing again. Yeah, or like I'm talking in the car with my friends and then suddenly I'm just quiet. I'm just out. And then my friends went, wow, that was fast. Like,
it's like you just opened a new chapter of the handbook of your brain, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Something I think you thought was one thing was actually another thing. And it kind of confirms what I tried to find out a couple weeks ago when we spoke about how convenient you are for other people also as a kid when you just fell asleep. And I tried to find out how do you feel on the inside when that happens? And you were just like, well, I feel fine, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Because I always thought the sleepiness is like, oh, maybe it's food coma, or maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I didn't think that I was overstimulated.
Yeah.
Until like after, when I feel the bees in my body and I'm like, oh, I think I am overstimulated.
Yeah.
But I actually asked my mom and my dad. I was like, did I like make like kick up a fuss when I was younger and stuff like that, and you get mad at me and that's why I learned to go to sleep and stuff? My mom was like, besides the normal like kid behavior that they have to discipline me for, like me being a total brat sometimes. But other than that, no, I like, if I'm like upset about something, like it's clear what it is. It's not because like, oh, I don't understand why she's throwing tantrum or whatever. Yeah, so I don't know where I learned it, but
to me, it doesn't sound like something you would learn.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, maybe my body is just like, my body just like shuts down. It's like, okay, we're done here. It's just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just finds its own way to protect you.
Yeah.
It doesn't need a model to learn that from, I think. Like me, when I'm overstimulated and I feel like I'm in a bubble, I never spoke to anybody about that. It's not like I learned that. It's just a filter that's missing. And then my body reacts in a way that is possible to protect me. And then it's just there.
It puts you in a bubble or makes you think like you're in a bubble?
Did we not speak about that? Sorry.
Not really.
I don't have that as much anymore. I think I really don't have that anymore.
Like when you say the bubble, like is it like a visual bubble or like a feeling bubble, or do you like create the bubble?
It's a feeling of dissociation and derealization. It's where I feel like there is. So my dreams are very realistic, and then daily life gets very surreal. So there isn't much of a difference between my dreams and my daily life. A bit, like I'm a bit more conscious, but still, the way how real everything feels, there isn't a huge difference between when dreaming and being awake. But I'm more aware of the fact that I should be awake, and that scared the shit out of me as a kid and as a teenager and young adult. And I felt like that's not right. And I only had those couple. It often was really just like 2 to 10 seconds where the bubble wasn't there. And when I say bubble, I mean it's like going above my upper body and head. It's like, do you know this bubble soccer kind of thing?
Yeah.
A bit like that. Everything feels more distant than it should be. And it also, once you're more like disconnected from real life, you can so easily slip into those existential thoughts and all of that bullshit that takes you places where you definitely don't feel more connected with the world. Yeah, so that was a sign of overstimulation, 100%. Little did I know, nobody knew what it was. Right. But now I hear other autistic people speaking about the same thing, and that feels like a hug. It feels so good to hear other people talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't think I have the bubble thing, but I understand the how, like, the dreams and real life are both. Like, it's hard to draw the line sometimes. Like, you don't know which one's which one.
I spoke about that in more detail on episode 8 or so, when it's the PhD episode and Clara from Mexico experienced the same thing. So we spoke about that a bit. I think it's a very clever function of our brain. I think it's very, very, very clever because it allows us to do things that we normally couldn't do. Like, take ourselves home in a train. Well, you would want to stay awake completely, right? So that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. No, but I appreciate that it still takes me home. Otherwise, I would have been just, like, on the train going to God knows where.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, what's speaking about dreams, you know what kind of dream I had last night?
Ooh.
It was so silly. So you and I were texting about Instagram.
I love talking about dreams, so.
A lot of people hate it, but I think this one. The last couple of days, we spoke about how Instagram is punishing me for God knows what. But it won't show my videos to anybody.
Right.
And we spoke about how to, like, overcome that algorithm punishment kind of thing. And then last night, I had a dream that the reel I posted yesterday, which was the pain thing when I knocked my head against that board in my camper van, and the reel went up to like 9,000 likes and 8,000 comments because there was now a bug in my reel drawing everybody's photos out of their phone. And everybody who saw the reel had all their photos uploaded as comments under the post.
Everyone, who, one more time, everyone who has a...
So if you would watch my reel and you would like it, the bug would take all the photos from your phone and post them as a comment under my reel.
Whoa. I think you might be giving ideas to some hackers right now or something.
It was so terrifying. It was like, oh, but that's good. Visibility. Comments. And at the same time, I was like, but to what price? It's not okay.
That's a funky dream.
That's that. Should we talk about episode 22 with Maryam?
Yes, let's do that. I was listening to it the other day, since I can listen to music right now. I was like, perfect time to cover my ears when I'm out and about. She's amazing. Like, her level of synesthesia is insane, like in the best way, of course. But I was just like, whoa. Like, when she was describing her experiences,
yeah,
it's just so wild, like how sweaty people sounds like something. I'm like, what? Like,
right,
that's so disruptive to like her life. Like, I can imagine how easily she can be overstimulated. Yeah, it's just so wild. Like, I'm not as my level of synesthesia is not as intense as hers, and I'm already like easily overstimulated, like much less her. Just like, wow.
Yeah,
she's a trooper.
It's that triple synesthesia kind of that is so mind-blowing, right? It's not translated into one more sense but in a couple more senses, which makes it really just completely overwhelming. And I completely agree. There were a couple more things where I was just like, Maryam, what are you telling me?
I was like, it took me a while to understand what she's talking about, like the writing thing as well. And I was like, what? I was like visualizing in my head. I was like, what? That's so crazy and so wild.
Yeah, and just such a fantastic example for how we decide if people are disabled or not, isn't it? Yeah, like someone writing from left to right. Learning disability, someone writing from right to left. You are weird, but somehow you now know how to spell words. So, yeah.
Yep. The way that she writes is kind of like the olden days. Like the way Chinese characters are written, it's written right to left and not left to right. And also it's like up to down, up to down. So I was like, it's almost like her brain is, I don't know, maybe the ancient DNA is there or something. And she's still writing like right to left. I was like, wow, that's so cool. And like, if the world was the other way around, then we would be the one with like dyslexia, not her.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is wild.
I wouldn't even go that far that it is something ancient. I think it really is neurological connections, because I do have similar thing. Well, not to that extent, but since I'm a child, I'm telling my parents we're sitting on the wrong side in the car and we're driving on the wrong side of the car.
Really?
Completely. Another thing why I love the UK so much, because there it's the opposite side. I don't know if you know that. It's the only European country where we drive on the left.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'll be totally fine in Japan or Singapore because we drive on the same side as the UK. As
like England. Yeah. So that, in my brain, that makes sense. It just, like, it's something aligns when I see that. It aligns when I go to the other side of the car. It just makes sense. And I imagine for Maryam, it's similar to that. Like, the one thing takes conscious effort. And then it somehow works. I mean, I can drive a car on the right. But the other thing is just what your brain is drawn to. That that what makes sense intuitively for mm-hmm. whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get the feeling because I think that's why a lot of stuff when I was younger, like people don't get like why I wouldn't want to try something or do something because it just doesn't make sense to me in my brain.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do that, or like I don't want to touch that, or I don't want, it's just like it just doesn't look right and I don't want to get yeah. close to it. It's just weird if I do it. There has been time where my friends say like my logic is weird. I've heard comments about that, like your logic is weird, like your logic is a little off, like all the times. I was like, really? But it makes complete sense to me though. Like, mm-hmm. maybe your logic is off, not mine.
Exactly.
I was just arguing with them. Absolutely. Like, what?
Different way of thinking.
Yeah, but I have had those like comments pretty often when I was growing up, like my friends around me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When writing. Yeah.
Also, the fact that she was nonverbal for the first 3 or 4 years of her life and was trying to communicate by using colors.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if incredible is the right word. It's from a psychological perspective and from like a child developmental perspective. How interesting. It just fascinates me so much, and I would like to take care of that kid and just have it mm-hmm. in my house and yeah. I don't know,
give her a hug.
Yeah, and I would be equally fascinated and mm-hmm. also feel a bit like I'm so glad I understand you.
Mm-hmm. Like
you deserve, I think she's really to be smart. Understood.
Yeah, definitely. I think she's really smart for like a 3 to 4 year old kid to know how to do that. Because I would imagine, like, if I were 3 and 4 and someone is trying, I would try my best to communicate with them in a way that they would understand. So, like, I would probably get mad at myself for not being able to do that if I were her. But she knows, like, she was able to find another way around it. And, like, here's my color card. And when I show you this, she created her own system.
Like, yeah.
For 3 to 4, that's amazing. Like, how do you know how to do that?
I do think she is a highly intelligent woman. I don't want to question that at all. But I Absolutely. Think taking into consideration how vivid and saturated her synesthesia is as a child that just does not have access to spoken language, just is nonverbal, that mm-hmm. just that option isn't there. And then you're left with feeling a headache and seeing it in red circles. So...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's following your own logic, like we said earlier. Yeah. Just you can't do anything else other than assuming that if you see it so prominently in your own mind's eye, that other people will understand that this is that they see that too, or that they mm-hmm. that this is how we communicate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's right. But still, I just think it's amazing. So, like, absolutely. From young, she's already very expressive.
Yeah, the level of frustration, I don't even want to imagine that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I've been lucky, like, growing up. Because my mom, she's a kindergarten owner. She owns, like, a childcare center in Singapore, so she understands, like, child psychology a lot. So I think I got lucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she knows how to deal with me very well, even though I was a little bit...
Yeah.
Offbeat.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to ask you after the episode with Maryam is, would you be interested in doing life paintings of your synesthesia? Or of maybe not like art? painting on a canvas, but maybe you could use your iPad while someone's performing a song and it could be connected to, you know, the wall. It's a cult.
Oh yeah, like
projected on the wall.
That's right, like I mean. Like what she does. It's kind of like performance arts, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it until I do it, so I'll probably say yes, but then if I don't like it, then I wouldn't continue, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it just sounds like I need to try it first.
Yeah, it could be one of the 35 things to do before turning 35.
Maybe. But I don't know though, like that stress though, because like I would really need to focus, and if there are people watching, it would be very hard for me to do that. Yeah, then it might not come out as clear as I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll try it once and then we'll see how it goes. Maybe I really like it. I'm like, oh, it's really fun. And it becomes a thing for me.
Yeah, I feel you. Mm-hmm. Being on stage, I think it was, Sarah Craning, she did a huge live painting performance as well on stage at a concert.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people watching you while doing that, kind of, exciting, very exciting, but also kind of scary to think. Yeah.
I mean, I've been performing since I was a kid, so I know how that feels like, but like... that's different. Like, I've been dancing, it's all muscle memory. I don't really have to think by then. But if, like, those live painting, I would actually need to, like, really look and really, or I don't know. I have to try it. I don't want to make any comments before I actually try it. So,
yeah.
These are all hypothetical.
Well, you got some inspiration today. That's nice.
Yeah. Another thing that Mariam brought up was, like, the stomach problems. The both of you you guys were talking about the stomach problems that you had from being overstimulated. I used to get stomach problems all the time when I was a kid. Until I was a teenager, food poisoning, it's totally my fault because I give myself that. But like, I will have like really bad diarrhea, or in the middle of the night, suddenly my stomach's really painful. I get like gas in my stomach. I vomit, and I always have like stomach problems. It's to a point that I think I accidentally conditioned my dad. So my parents' room in Singapore, their room and my room is like connected by a wall. So in the middle of the night, whenever like I get really bad stomach ache, I would knock that shared wall, and then my dad would wake up and check and come into my room to check up on me. I think a few years ago, he was in Japan with me, and I woke him up because he was snoring too loud. But he woke up in a panic. He was like, "Why? What's wrong with your stomach?" Like, that's his first question from like waking up. I'm like, no, my stomach's fine. I was like, oops, I think I conditioned my dad. Every time I wake him up in the middle of the night, it's a stomach problem.
That's so cute.
I was like, no, I'm fine. It's just you're snoring too loud, Dad. I'm so sorry. I felt bad. I was like, oh no.
That's sweet.
But yeah but anyway,
stomach issues are a huge thing. A lot of autistic people have stomach issues for a fact. So there must be some connection there. Like, not just a overstimulation connection, but there must be something more profound to that connection of neurodivergency and our stomach problem. I had them until, like, I discovered I'm autistic. Like, really just...
Oh.
Until, like, 2 years ago, I had bad stomach issues. And now... what's left still is that I get bad conversation stomach pain.
Bad conversation stomach pain.
Yeah, if I would be stuck in a bad dynamic or a bad conversation, I would get bloated. And then I would get stomach cramps and I have to... Yeah, it's just like, it's just evident. It's every time I have a bad conversation.
Like after or during?
During.
Oh, well, then that's perfect excuse for you to leave. You'll be like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And you'll be like, bye. Peace out, homies. Out of the conversation.
I know. But now I do understand. And I'm not the only family member, I have to say, who has that. The other person hasn't really believed me yet that there is a correlation. But it's so evident, really. It's so evident. Well, our body just reacts to... I feel like if something's really inauthentic or what I struggle with, I can easily do deep talk. I love deep talk. That's my natural habitat, talking about feelings, existential topics, philosophy, psychology. How did you feel yesterday? How do you feel right now? Sexuality, all the deep stuff. I feel comfortable in. And then there's small talk, can do it for a couple minutes. And then there is shallow talk. And that kills me. How do you feel about shallow talk? I mean, you know them for months and years, but you never get to a deep topic. Like, you still talk about stuff that is so irrelevant. But well, it's not like a transition, you know? It's like you meet them for dinner and that you stay there. And that kills my stomach so bad.
Really? Wow. Well, a lot of... Well, my job is a lot of small talk. Every lesson, for the first 5 minutes, you need to have small talk to warm them up. And, like, that's the what's it called? The structure that we have for the lesson. When I was younger, I hated small talk. I'm like a conversation killer. Like, I would end it so quick because I don't know how to continue talking if it's like a small talk kind of thing. But I had to learn it because of my job. So now I'm pretty good at it. I'm really good. And I think the fact that I'm neurodivergent helps with like the small talk because I can like prolong the topics really well, jump to a different topic really well.
I can see that. But I think... Like, also in a client appointment, in my last job, for example, we didn't always touch the big topics, and we also didn't small talk. There was also sessions where it was just shallow talk because there was a lot of resistance. But that's fine because we're here for a bigger purpose of this is a psychological session. And you are also there to train English. You know what I mean? What you talk about with your clients is maybe not that important because you both still have a focus on
language,
grammar, vocabulary.
Yeah. So those
I feel like
fine.
That eases my the idea of doing it a bit because it's two things doing at the same time. But just having shallow talk.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, I understand what you mean. But I don't think I'll get a stomachache from that, but I would just be really, I feel like very hollow leaving that interaction. Yeah, very drained and hollowed out. So
yeah, another thing we can observe more.
Yeah.
Actually, the handbook thing. I don't want to be strange, but the more I think about it, the idea of having a handbook about my body and my psyche and my brain makes me want to actually write it down.
Yeah, you should. Oh, wait, when you said the handbook, you weren't actually writing down? I just assumed that you were already.
No, I'm just referring to a post I did, like a coaching post on my Instagram where I asked if people want to get a handbook.
Yeah, but I thought you were actually writing it down already. It just makes sense.
No.
You should.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Just little notes, I guess.
Yeah.
Here and there. So if anybody wants to, like, if you ever, like, get overstimulated or whatever, just give them the handbook. This is why.
But then it would be my handbook.
Yeah, so, like, they can understand you better. Like, new friends, they'll be like, okay,
here
we go.
Oh, I see.
A little pamphlet about me.
One of my ex-boyfriends actually said that. He wrote down the things he learned in our relationship. And then he was like, now I can hand it to future girlfriends and dates. And I thought that's very, very clever. No, I honestly think it's very, very clever.
A guidebook to dating ABC.
That's how I work. Yeah. I have a couple more podcasting related things. And then I am done with my list. Do you have anything else before we do our tasty thing?
Let me see. Not much, but just the stomach problems. And yeah, I think I had more than just stomach problems. I used to like get a cold, like every month I would get a cold, and it takes a week or so to get over it. And my friends are like, why are you always sick? And I'm like,
I feel that. But what kind of symptoms, like a proper sore throat and a cough?
Yeah, like sore throat, runny nose. I don't really get fevers, but runny nose, dry cough, and I go to the doctor all the time because of that. Or my throat especially is always the first one. The first indicator of me falling sick is just my throat gets scratchy, and then it's just everything else.
Ah, okay,
and
I
ulcers.
See.
I get a lot of like mouth ulcers.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. In Singapore, we call them ulcers, but I don't know in other countries.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just nodding along.
Like, those like white spots.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That grow on your mouth. Like when you accidentally bite into them and then it like grows into this white right. thing. It's really painful. Right. I get that so easily as well. I think that's also the weather in Singapore. It's too hot.
Yeah. But those somatic responses are so interesting because they can really take any shape or form.
Right. Now I'm just like connecting all the dots.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good. I'm so happy for you. That's exactly where we want to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly that. It's so awesome to figure yourself out. Yeah. Especially when you have a bit of a complicated, non-intuitive setup like we do, like Maryam does as well. For me, when I get, I also have that friend said you get sick all the time, and I told myself the same thing. I get sick all the time. Why is that? Why is my immune system so bad? What should I eat differently? Now, this summer actually made it so clear to me that after I went to Greece, I was in bed for 2 or 3 days in full body pain, and I thought I was getting sick. And then now after Italy, the same thing, where I was like, okay, well, I have COVID, shit. No, it was the same thing. Again, completely overstimulated. Body pain, skin pain, joint pain, everything
skin
hurt.
Skin pain?
Yeah. So like to the extent where when I wash my hands, it hurts. Right. The water on my hands hurt. And I had to buy a new shower. What is it? Hose? No.
Shower head.
Oh, shower head.
Yeah.
You're so good.
I am an English teacher. That's what I do every day, filling in the gaps for people.
Lovely. Yeah. So all of that. And ear sounds like tinnitus. Is that how it's?
Right. Like the ear, the ee in your ear.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce that. I think it's like
in tinnitus. German we say tinnitus, and that's my very first symptom. When my ears get loud, something is wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I do get that as well. Like sometimes it's like it's almost like my ears close up, and then you just only on one side, and then you only hear that loud ringing sound, and then it releases. I'll see if it's connected to anything, but for now it's on its own.
It's on its own. Yeah. Now imagine a huge map or whiteboard where you have all those bodily symptoms and it's still wandering there alone, and at some point it will have a connection, like someone who's trying to solve a crime.
Exactly, the red lines.
All of a sudden it's connected to the other things. Yes, actually, exactly. My ear sounds, they're connected to bad conversations.
This is why.
It is a bit like solving a crime, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Like, I am the puzzle piece that needs to be solved.
Yeah.
I'm the Rubik's Cube. Like, all right. I see it now.
It's you. Yeah, no, I think, because
you're the suspect.
I feel violated. I feel violated by my neurological makeup.
It's our friend, but also like a bit of a jerk as well, that friend.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I bring, because we're already 1 hour in, I think I should.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Move on. One exciting thing I wanted to share is that three guests are, I have scheduled 3 recordings with new guests.
Nice.
One of them is Emily Curtamores, where I was a guest on her The Neurodiversity Podcast, and we're going to talk about giftedness and working with neurodivergent school kids. So if you have any questions for Emily, please drop them wherever. And the other guest is a former client, which I'm really excited about. We only had a couple sessions, and I helped her figure out something that we're then going to talk about on the episode, which is really exciting. It's a lot about numbers and math and all the things I know nothing about. So that was fun. And then the third guest is the one that you are really excited about, the little 6-year-old boy.
Oh my God. Yay.
So as for now, we haven't settled on a date, but they agreed.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yeah. Do you want to join?
Yeah, can I join? I want to join.
I would love that.
I hope we can all like find a good timing for all of us. Yeah, but it's fine. You can sacrifice me. I don't mind doing it at like 2 a.m. It's okay. I want
to
meet the little
you
boy.
You probably would have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Okay, perfect.
Yay. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. A child synesthete. How awesome is that?
Yeah, so cool. And it'll be interesting because he will not be masked at all.
Yeah, as
well. He can tell you very directly. Yeah, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, great. So cool. Yeah. Yeah, so a couple exciting things to come. I think so. I'm gonna do all of those episodes in the next couple weeks and month, and then I think I will switch to a every other week cycle. So not one new episode every Tuesday, but every other Tuesday. It's just more manageable with my other jobs that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps me to research episodes a bit better and just live up to that high standard that I would want to live up to.
Good, yeah, definitely. I mean, you're doing a lot.
I'm working 4 different jobs right now.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they're all awesome, so it's fine. But the last thing I just wanted to leave that out there. A friend and I had a discussion about the length of podcasts, and he said that's not a topic to discuss on the podcast. And I was like, where else? The listeners decide. When my favorite podcast has a new episode and it's over an hour, I get so excited. I'm like, yeah, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he was like, everything over 30 minutes is just like, ugh.
Well, it depends on the person, I guess. I love like over an hour. Like the podcast I listen to, sometimes it's 2 hours.
2 hours would be too much for me, but like 1 hour 25 or so, I love.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a listener question and decision, I feel like, because I know I like long episodes, but I can also say that efficiency and getting to the point and not having a ton of small talk at the beginning is more enjoyable to hear. So on Spotify, I will put down a poll and you can just one finger tap. You can just click and if not, we're just doing our thing, you know. We're doing it for you, so I would like you to let us know.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, so we know when to cut it short. And I'll shut up. There's beeswax in a corner and a baseball.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's like, can you tell who has ADHD in this from this photo?
Do you know we're recording, right?
Yeah. Okay. Already?
Yeah.
Oh, so.
Whoever wants to join, we have peanut butter unsweetened. We have Haribo Happy Cola. We have shortbread. We have red Pringles. And we have soy sauce. And this is the Synesthesia Challenge on the only Synesthesia podcast out there.
Oh, it is?
I think so.
Oh, did not know that.
I think so. A couple of podcasts have done like single episodes about synesthesia, but often they don't even have a synesthete on, which is hilarious. But I think there is no other active synesthesia podcast. But that's the thing about self-promoting, you know? I would never... Oh, it feels so weird to like make a reel about, I'm the host of the only...
I'm so special and unique.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So I'm just sitting here producing, waiting for people to realize.
Notice me, senpai.
The only thing I'm super confident about is my coaching service, because I know I can change people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually like directed like some this guy who texted me on Instagram. I directed him to you. I was like, you can check out my friend. She actually might be able to help you because she's an actual psychologist.
Yeah. Oh, no, they did. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that is Sensation Synesthesia. challenge. I don't know how to call it. We're just tasting stuff and we're closing our eyes to see what we see or perceive or whatever.
Okay.
Everybody that has actual taste or smell synesthesia is like, why the heck do you have to close your eyes? It's so obvious. And we are like, we want to be part of the club. We have to try really hard.
Unfortunately, it doesn't come as easily to us. Okay, let's see.
Cool. Okay, what do we start with?
I'm kind of hungry. I want to eat everything like now.
I would say Pringles.
Okay, let's do Pringles.
Do you see anything?
Nothing. I was just enjoying the food. I'm like, oh, there's nothing. Oh, yum.
I love Pringles so much.
Me too.
The only thing I'm very certain about is that the taste is like a teenager.
Oh.
Like, I'd say a male teenager, but nothing else. It was tasty, though. Okay, sip of water.
How about the texture, like the touch of it? Did you get anything?
The texture?
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't know what to do with texture. Texture is already... What do you mean?
Yeah, when you
what can texture
it?
Be?
When you touch the chip, do you like see any color or anything?
Oh. Oh, I see. For the tactile synesthesia that I have, I would need the chip to touch me.
Oh. Well, pretend that it's touching you. Maybe someone else could hold it and like rub it on you.
Yeah, I just see the bumps and stuff in black and turquoise.
Oh, turquoise, interesting.
No, obvious.
You're okay. Right. Interesting.
Okay, what about you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, cool.
Nothing.
Let's move on.
I don't have anything. The shortbread?
Yes, let's do it.
Nothing with the taste. Oh, maybe a little white, but I don't know what's that. But more, I see more of the sound of my chewing. Of the biscuit, like, disintegrating in my mouth. Then I can see, like, gray circles overlapping each other whenever I, like, bite into it. And then it kind of, like, becomes more sandy gray as it... The pieces become smaller and smaller and the sounds becomes less chunky.
So what I saw is only a shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit like, you know, a contact lens shape. So it's like a small flat hill kind of shape. It's a very soft taste.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the buttery thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not synesthesia, but... the memories that come up when you taste it. For the Pringles, I saw a sunflower field. And then for this one, I saw one of those very old steam trains in gray, which I don't know why, but that's I don't know what that is.
Right, well, for me, I just feel maybe. Like it would go really well with tea. I wish I had tea right now. Actually,
I love when the sound or whatever sensation is different to the color of the food. it feels like so. It feels so verified.
Yeah, it's right. Like I'm not just like making obvious associations.
Okay, peanut butter.
Okay. Whoa, the smell of it is really it was like yellow and green.
Very green. The smell is very green.
Yeah, yeah. There's green. Yeah, green. It's like a hollowed green. It smells hollow. Like there's an outline, but inside is empty. There was some gray on the left for some reason. And
brown for me, but I feel like next time I eat it, it could be something different.
Yeah, it's too light. Or it's not serious. I mean, it's not, what do you call that? Accurate enough.
We wouldn't pass the taste synesthesia test.
I don't think so, yeah. But there were like very little. We are imposters.
Welcome to Let's Talk Imposter.
I saw very little white bubble looking thing, like sound wise, when I'm eating the peanut butter, like when it is being sloshed around like my mouth.
I feel like the texture of peanut butter is already a lot. This one's very oily. Oh, I actually have something to announce tomorrow. We're going to record tomorrow already for the next episode because you will be on an exciting holiday soon.
Yay! Yes, I'm going to go to Australia and I'm going to do a bunch of synesthesia content, hopefully. I haven't really planned it out yet. Yeah. I just have a rough idea of what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then get some...
I'm looking forward.
Get some Aussie stuff down. I can't do Australian accent. Okay, next. Haribo,
Happy Cola, Cola Fleschler, für alle meine schwäbischen Zuhörer.
You sound so good.
Sorry, that was German.
German. It smells a little herbal. Why is that? Some orange, yellow color.
Oh, you're smelling? I'm just eating.
No, I'm smelling it. Because smell and sound is the two things. I think taste is like nothing. I don't get anything with taste. A little green as well. Just
okay, I'm gonna smell it too.
There's like sharp little spikes with the chewing sounds for this one, like the gummy chewing sounds, and a bunch of like
they
very
smell
coarse.
So strange.
It smells so strange, right?
They smell so strange.
If you really pay attention, it doesn't smell anything like cola at all.
No.
Okay, sound wise, there's like spiky things and some really coarse like grain thing. They're all white and black, like very coarse TV static, or if sand is black and white. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one for me. The smell is very most definitely blue and green, but then the taste is more yellow and white.
Oh. Imagine someone's watching this with zero context. What the hell are these two girls doing?
You know what's even better? For Instagram, I did that with a friend where you don't know what's coming.
Oh, right.
And I think that's good for imposters like us. Because then you're free of any association because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Are you ready for the last one?
Yes.
I'm wondering if anybody is joining us. Yeah. Anybody at home sniffing soy sauce?
Oh, they're just like in a complete like straight face, just listening to us eating. Just like, oh. That's pretty funny too, I think.
Okay. No, but actually, if you're home, soy sauce, almost everybody has soy sauce at home.
Whoa. It was very sharp.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
It's very sharp and pointy, the smell. It's like yellow with brown spots. I'll show you taste like. Looks like. Smells like.
No, it's round. It's a round smell. You're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
It's a very thick, round circle. Almost like the wheel of a car.
Really? Mine's a really pointed shape. It's pointy at the top. But it's kind of soft and round at the bottom, but it's pointy at the top. We're just sniffing.
Yeah, I'm so close to just inhaling it.
Oh, okay, that's too close. Yeah, it's also outlined like brown. So it's like the outline is brown, the inside is yellow, and then brown spots. The brown spots are the same brown as the outline brown. And it's pointy at the top. Kind of like wobbly, roundish bottom.
Yeah, the taste again looks very different than the smell.
Yeah, I say that, but I don't see anything of taste.
Well then, that's different.
Yes, that's right. Just agree with you. I'm gonna smell the lemon curd because I'm curious. I've never like had one before. If I can get this open. Whoa, it smells like peanut butter. No, it smells like, not peanut butter, it smells like the shortbread. It's like a oblong shape that's khaki. It's like sand khaki color and it's oblong. Like a long oval, but it's really like, it moves around, like jiggles a little bit. Whoa, it smells like a shortbread. Is this like, how do you eat this with? Like, with bread?
I have no idea. Oh. Honestly, I have no idea. Maybe for baking. Oh. I have no idea. We only picked it because we send each other photos of what's in the store and what we recognize.
Oh, right, right. Oh, interesting. It feels like it's a jam type thing. Or maybe can someone from the UK, if you're listening, tell me how to eat this?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how to eat this. Do I put it on bread or cereal? I don't know.
Yeah.
Eat it with rice?
Please tell her. I made her buy it.
Yeah. Made in Scotland. Oh, okay. So if any Scottish people, let me know as well.
Okay, I think we have to wrap it up. We already recorded for 1.5 hours and it will be a pain to edit.
Yeah, right. Okay. So
that was fun.
That was really fun. Yeah.
I'm so glad we made a bunch of synesthetes just feel a ton better because they so vividly saw stuff and they're like, they're pretending to be experts. They don't see shit.
We really don't sometimes.
Thank you so much once again for doing this with me. We're going to see each other in 2 weeks with another episode. And mm-hmm. I have to say it once again, if you could please give the podcast a 5-star rating. I know it's a bit annoying and everybody says it all the time, but it does really affect visibility. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it just impacts if we can keep doing it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one click and it would mean the world to us.
Yay. Just tell your friends about it. Anyone who doesn't believe you, just give them the whole podcast, just the entire thing. Yeah.
Okay, my love, thank you so much. We're gonna see each other tomorrow and I will have a community announcement.
Yay.
Bye. Speak soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Synesthesia. There will be a new episode of Series 1 every Tuesday. If you enjoyed listening, you can like, follow, and share. Details about the podcast and how to connect with today's speakers can be found in the show notes. The executive producer was Micah Pricing, with music by Karen Anderson, and the podcast was supported by a couple more neurodivergent people in the background. See you next week.